You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And a good afternoon. Hope that you are doing well as we come to you here on Listen Up. We've got a lot to talk about with the NFL playoffs. I'm telling you, folks, this is going to be fun. Yeah. This weekend. We got some big-time games. And, you know, if you're looking at the Raiders game on Sunday, and you're looking at the opportunity, if you are looking at the Raiders now to get the playoffs with everything that they have gone through this year, I mean, think about their season. Think about what they've had to endure. And then, you know, you would think if you were a member of the Raiders and you saw what happened 2 months ago to Henry Ruggs, who was driving at an unbelievably high rate of speed and has since been charged with numerous felonies that took the life of an innocent 23-year-old woman, you would think that you would probably think twice before you got behind the wheel of a vehicle after drinking. You would think. But that was not the case with Nate Hobbs, the rookie nickelback for the Raiders. Can you imagine? Seriously now. Can you imagine being on that team and living through that tragedy? And seeing your teammate, who is going to be, in all likelihood, incarcerated for a long period of time because he did not seek the advice and common sense to hire for free a driver. You would think that Nate Hobbs, that would have resonated, but he was arrested on a misdemeanor charge, DUI, hours after the team returned from their victory against the Colts. It's unbelievable. It really is. 4:09 a.m. Las Vegas police received the call of a driver asleep inside of a vehicle. You ready for this? Which was parked on the exit ramp of a parking garage. The officers made contact with the driver, who turned out to be Nate Hobbs. He failed a field sobriety test. He was transported to a detention center, and he was booked for a DUI misdemeanor. You just can't make this stuff up. Raiders, by the way, this weekend, Sunday Night Football, winner take all with the Chargers. But it's been some year for the Raiders. Hey, if you want to get in on the program, hit your hand icon, raise your hand, and we'll do it. If you are waiting for my podcast, it will be released as soon as I'm done with this Listen App show. A phenomenal, and I mean a phenomenal, conversation with Sean Salisbury today. All right? Really good conversation. All right, if you have any questions about NFL playoff scenarios, we talked a little bit yesterday about the 49ers and their situation, where a three-way tie hurts them and their head-to-head with Philadelphia, who's already clinched a playoff spot. And, you know, the games this weekend that are important, and there are numerous ones. So it's coming down to the final week of the season, and I think most people really, you know, appreciate that. You know, if you're a fan of my team, the Giants, you knew you were out of it before the season began, so there was no drama there. You know, Kansas City at Denver. Kansas City can only get the number one seed if they win and Tennessee loses. Tennessee is out of Houston, so you don't figure that is going to happen. All right. The big game is, well, there are a couple of big games, but the Raiders and the Chargers on Sunday night. You've got a NFC West matchup with the 49ers and the Rams, important for both teams. Rams, of course, and the Cardinals trying to go for the top spot in the West. The Rams have had a nice end to the season. The Cardinals, who went into Dallas and beat Dallas. So, you know, a lot of different scenarios at play here. But if you're a fan of the 49ers and the Raiders, two huge, huge games. I know San Francisco has owned the Rams. I'd actually be shocked. Very surprised. Maybe not shocked. I'm never shocked in the National Football League. I would be very surprised to see San Francisco beat the Rams this weekend. It would surprise me. If they had Garoppolo at quarterback, it would still surprise me. You know, again, the Rams playing much better, and I just don't see how Garoppolo is going to be able to play. All right, he obviously couldn't play on Sunday, so we'll see. Rams need the game to win the division, and the 49ers with a tough, tough situation here. Yeah, you know, you're looking at New Orleans, and you're probably figuring when you look, and the Saints, by the way, who has a read on the Saints with everything that they've gone on this year with all of the COVID and all of the injuries? And I could see the Saints losing. I could see the Saints losing on Sunday. I don't think the Saints are that good, you know, at Atlanta. I could easily see that. So, again, if you want to get in on the program today, raise your hand. Hit your hand icon, and we will get you right on the show. All right, NBA tonight. Kings are in L.A. to take on the Lakers. Phoenix at New Orleans. The Knicks host the Pacers. Spurs are in Toronto, and Memphis travels to Cleveland. That is your NBA schedule. You know, you look at the Lakers. Yeah, I don't even know what to say anymore, you know, about the Lakers. I'm not sure how anyone can really get a read on the Lakers other than the fact that they're just not very good. Westbrook has been a disaster, right? Anybody out there want to dispute that? Davis, who, you know, gets hurt repeatedly. The Lakers have climbed back to 500 with two wins in a row at 19-19, and the Kings at 16 up and 22 down. Again, you don't know what to expect from night to night with either of these teams, both the Kings and the Lakers. You know, I look at the recent body of work for L.A. They've won 3 of 4. They won at Houston. They beat Portland 133-106. And then they won a home game against Minnesota 108-103. So we'll see. They got the Lakers have the Kings, Atlanta, Memphis. Then they're at Sacramento again on January 12th. So if you want to talk about that, feel free to raise your hand. I'll put you up on stage with me, and we can get it going on right here on Listen App. Nothing new on the NFL front as it relates to COVID. You're hoping that with the new restriction or the ease of restrictions and everything else, that it will not affect the playoffs. But you kind of get the feeling that it's going to come up and bite somebody. You kind of get the feeling it's going to come up and bite somebody. So 1 week left in the National Football League. The other aspect of what's going to happen this week is on Monday, you're going to have coaches fired in the National Football League. So who is on the hot seat in the National Football League? All right. No one in the AFC. All coaches are secure there. Probably everybody is safe in the AFC North. When I said AFC, I meant the East. Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets. Bengals, Steelers, Ravens, Browns, all good. AFC North, we know what's going on in Jacksonville. Don't know what the hell's going on in Houston. I would think AFC West is secure. NFC East, you know, I don't know how Joe Judge comes back to the Giants, although I don't think it's really his fault, but I could see a change there. You could see a change in Chicago with Matt Nagy. Could see a change in Minnesota with Mike Zimmer. You know, with the amount of money the Rule's making in Carolina, probably not. No changes in the NFC West. So, but you will see some, you will definitely see some firing that's coming up this week. All right, let's get to some phone calls with Alfred. Hey, Al, how are you today?
I'm good, Nate. Welcome back.
Thank you, buddy.
You know, I'm a longtime Rams fan, and, you know, this five-game losing streak, you know, I go back, you know, I remember when they lost 17 in a row to the Niners, man, in the 90s. You know, it was just, yep. It was just, at one point, it didn't matter who played quarterback for them. You know, Jim Druckenmiller played one game. He's 10 out of 25, three interceptions, one touchdown, and the Niners still beat him because they just couldn't get it done. And now I hope that, you know, the Rams can just take care of business. But Stafford's, you know, the last two weeks, man, three turnovers.
Yep.
You know, he's got to take care of it. We got to play a clean game against the Niners or it's not going to happen. They got to play.
Well, they have one five. You know, they have won five in a row, so they got to be feeling good about themselves. I'm talking about the Rams. You know, it started with that Monday night game,
right,
you know, at Arizona. So they come. Listen, if they cannot beat San Francisco Sunday, there are no excuses. You got Trey Lance playing quarterback. I don't think he's ready against this defense. There is no excuse for the Rams not to win this game. You make a great point about Stafford, but there is no excuse to lose this game at home on Sunday afternoon.
No, you're right. They definitely righted the ship, and a lot of us, you know, they've come together. A lot of guys have had to step up. You got, you know, Greg Gaines, who was in his third year out of Washington, and he was the nose tackle, and he had to step in when Joseph Day got hurt and went out, and he's played really well.
Yep.
So they've had some pretty guys step in and play well, but I agree with you. I think you know, they got to take care of business if they're going to be legitimate. They're in the playoffs, but I mean, one thing I'd still like to see them, you know, make a run. But you know, I'm just hoping for the best. But do you think your Giants are going to keep Joe Judge? You think they're going to hang on to him, or what
I
do you
think they probably will for one more year? I definitely 100% can guarantee you that David Gettleman will not be the general manager. I do think that they'll stay with Judge for one more year. Gut feeling. Would it shock me if they don't? No, but I think they will.
Who do you like as far as?
Oh my gosh! Well, you got to hire a general manager first. You know, once you get a new general manager, then you can go from there.
Who do you like for a new general manager? As far as
that's a great question. Somebody from outside the organization. The Giants have had a history of always going within the organization. People that have roots. I'm done with that. They need a different philosophy. Go out and get the best guy, regardless of if he has any ties with the Giants or not. That to me is what they should do because it has not worked. It has not worked.
Yeah,
the Giants. It just has not worked.
Yeah, and they've had a lot. How about Daniel Jones? You think he's still?
Well, I'm hearing Daniel Jones's injury is extremely serious, where we could even be talking about his career. So you know, again, that's something they have to obviously look at and look at very closely.
Oh no, I didn't know that. But anyway, thanks for taking my call. Go Rams, and thanks for all your hard work.
Thank you. I really appreciate your phone call. Yeah, I'm hearing Daniel Jones' injury is something that could affect his career. So, you know, another situation with the Giants are a mess. I mean, they really are. I don't know what else to say. They're an absolute mess. They're a mess. You know, no other way to say it. They're an absolute mess. All right, if you want to get in on the program like Al, just hit your hand icon, raise your hand, and we will be happy to take your phone call. You know, the New York Post, which I always talk about them, they had, you know, speaking about Al and his question, they had a story today called Hog Follies, the many missteps of David Gettleman's Giants tenure. He is the general manager. And the opening line says, this isn't the way Dave Gettleman envisioned heading in to retirement. Well, he's done a horrible job. Horrible. Absolutely an awful job with that team. Terrible. All right, football teams that are going to the playoffs, you have to also wonder if Kansas City and, you know, if they are going to be affected by losing that game to Cincinnati and in all likelihood, the number one seed overall with Tennessee having a win at Houston to get that. So, yeah, I think Kansas City has proven they can win anywhere. They're going to be a tough out, you know, if they're healthy and you're playing them. It doesn't matter whether it's at home or on the road, but it looks like Kansas City now, if they're going to go back to the Super Bowl, assuming that Tennessee's the number one seed and wins, you know, a couple of games to get to the AFC Championship game. You know, when I look at the playoffs right now, I think this year maybe more than any, and we always say this every year, but I don't think there are any great teams. I mean, who are the great teams right now in the National Football League? And by great, I mean teams that separate themselves. Anybody in the AFC East? No. Right? AFC North? No. AFC South? No. Kansas City, 11-5? You know, NFC East? No. Green Bay? Maybe they're a little bit better than everybody else, but by a whisker. At 13-3. Tampa, with their situation at wide receiver and their injuries, they're not great. The Rams are 12-4, but yeah, they've won five in a row, but they also went through a bad stretch. They're not great. I don't think there are any great games, and I'm looking at the playoffs this year. You know, look at the AFC, for example. Buffalo, New England, Cincinnati, Tennessee, Kansas City, and either Indianapolis, the Raiders, the Chargers. I mean, I could see any of those teams winning a couple games in the playoffs. NFC, Dallas, Green Bay, Tampa, the Rams, the Cardinals, the Eagles. I'd be surprised if the Eagles do it, but, you know, the Eagles are 9-7. You know, the National Football League is balanced. And I think Green Bay might be the most complete team, you know, in the National Football League. And, you know, let's face it, they have a great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. But, I mean, look at Tampa. They barely beat the Jets, who stink. You know, Tampa's 12-4. And yeah, I know they have Tom Brady, but, I mean, I would be surprised. I'd be very surprised if Tampa's able to do what they did last year. I don't think they would beat the Packers this year. I'm not so sure they beat the Rams or the Cardinals. I'm not so sure they would beat the 49ers if Jimmy Garoppolo was playing quarterback. But this year, once we get through this weekend of the National Football League, it is definitely going to be fun. All right, you got Alabama and Georgia coming up for the National Championship game. And it's pretty simple to me. Is Georgia going to get a better play from the quarterback in Bennett? Is he going to be able to handle being on that stage against this team? And we're talking about Stetson Bennett. All right. This is going to be the biggest test of his life. He was very good against Michigan with three touchdowns. And he gets the rematch that he and the Georgia Bulldogs wanted. All right. We know how good Bryce Young is. Best quarterback in college football. We already know that. Heisman Trophy winner. But Georgia, who got, you know, beat badly, and Alabama had no problem going the length of the field against that defense. Now you look at Alabama and Georgia for the second time in a month. And now you have Alabama, who a lot of people think now will beat Georgia, whereas those people did not think they would beat them in the SEC title game. So we got that next week. We got the NFL, NBA. If you want to talk about it, raise your hand, and we will put you right up on stage. All right, I want to hear from you on this Tuesday as we get you through the new year. Before you know it, the golf season will be in full force. Before you know it, we'll be talking about the Masters and hopefully baseball. I'm not hearing anything on the labor front. Spring training is supposed to start next month, but you know, with the lockout and everything else, don't expect the players and the union, or the players and the owners, to be able to come up with an agreement anytime soon. All right, so we got all of that, and anything else that's going on. You know, I got a call yesterday. It was a very good call about the transfer portal, and we talked about college sports, and we got name, image, and likeness, and how it's changing. I wonder what the future of college sports is going to be like 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Is it going to be completely different than we see today? I mean, you got Oklahoma and Texas bolting for the SEC. You know, are we going to have a complete realignment as it relates to college football teams and conferences? You know, are we going to see a completely revamped college football playoff? And by revamped, I'm talking about more than four teams. You know, you look at the money that coaches are making right now. It's the landscape in college sports is definitely changing. There are a lot of things that are changing on the sports landscape. You know, not just, you know, professional sports, college football sports, but, you know, there's a lot going on in the political world, which I hate getting into unless it affects sports. And we are starting to see it affect sports. And we have a big, big story as it relates to swimming and a transgender athlete. And it's being talked about everywhere. So much so that the team was talking about boycotting a meet. And I don't know where this is all heading. You know, I really don't. But there have been a lot of stories about this. And yeah, I think it's common sense. It's a hot topic. And I know a lot of people are going to get upset, you know, with me, because the University of Pennsylvania, Leah Thomas, also swam on Penn's male team when she was Will Thomas. And even some of Thomas's teammates have made their disapproval known. And you can't blame them. I mean, you can't blame them. What are you supposed to say? Again, I deal with common sense here. You know? This is going to be, as we hit 2022, this is going to be a very hot topic. Period. You know, Phil Mushnick, who I love quoting, you know, wrote this last week in the New York Post. Even some of Thomas's female teammates have been unable to perform the politically correct charade, making their disapproval known. Thomas's success as a female swimmer don't come close to the minimal standards of passing the stink test. They reek of race fixing, the antithesis of fair play. Still, unless they abjectly apologize for their inability to abandon common sense, these logical naysayers risk being tossed into that vat of intolerant evil haters, then boiled as transphobic. Well, you know, you can't really argue with that paragraph, can you? You really cannot argue with that paragraph. I mean, you can, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, it's common sense. It's common sense. You know, and, you know, Phil was talking about the president, talking about, you know, Joe Biden and what he has said publicly on this. He said during his campaign, quote, "I promise you there is no reason to suggest that there should be any right denied your, in parentheses, transgender daughter, none, zero." Said children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room, or school sports. And Phil says it very well, but what about common sense? The kind predicated on fair play. As former males have destroyed the field and women's athletic events, if you don't both see and celebrate the equity in that inequity, run for your life. You will be condemned as a bigot, as transphobic. Of course, that's an absurd conflation of realities that only the blindly wishful would blend in order to castigate. To explain those who prefer fair play over a stacked deck as mentally disturbed, phobic, has nothing to do with any phobia unless fair play advocates are in profound need of psychotherapy, if not lobotomies. I'm left to learn on the visceral, the first person, what if? If a beloved young woman in Biden's life who had trained to reach the top of her sport at her level, high school runner or tennis player or college swimmer or basketball player, were to be denied her sporting chance to further succeed by former males in competition against her, Biden would be what? Pleased? Proud to have so fully supported those who deny the deserving what they so tirelessly trained to achieve? Would he find male to female champions as worthy of admirable achievement on behalf of equality when the achievement was predicated on preposterous inequality? I don't see how you can argue with that. Again, I deal with common sense here. But as we turn the page and this country continues to, I don't even know what term you use anymore. People use woke. I don't even know what to use anymore. I like to use common sense. It's common sense. I know what side I'm on in this debate, but I also respect your view and your opinion if it's different than mine. But to me, I go back to common sense. And this is not an equal playing field, in my opinion. All right, if you want to get in on the program, just raise your hand, hit your hand icon, and I will put you up on stage. And once you're up on stage like Jeff, you can talk to me. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Grant? You have a happy
Jeff,
New
I'm
Year?
Well. What can I do for you?
Well, hey, what do you think if these, the transgender, if they went to try to go in the WNBA and dominated the women, and how would they tolerate that?
I don't know. It hasn't happened yet, but it will happen. I can almost guarantee you it probably will happen. So that's why I said, you know, this is now becoming a much more discussed topic, and I think it's going to create a lot of divisiveness in our communities. I really do. You're starting to see it already.
Yeah, can you just imagine some bigger person, bigger guy, were just running over him and just slam dunking him and just taking over the game?
It's going to happen. Like, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's no question it's going to happen. It's only a matter of time. Yeah, it is going to happen.
It's pathetic.
I go back to common sense. I don't know how, and again, I don't know how anyone in their right mind can say that a transgender woman competing in her line of sport against other females, I cannot understand how anyone can say that is equal and that there's not an advantage. And until that scientific or medical data is put in front of me that is conclusive, I will use my common sense and say, nah, that's not fair.
Well, you're 100% right. And I feel sorry for these girls that train, you know, since they're 10, 11, 12 years old, go through, you know, junior programs and all the way up, and they go to try to medal and try to make the Olympics and or get scholarships to go to college, and you know, they got to build a resume, and then they're getting smoked, you know, in these swimming events and stuff by almost a lap, It's
yeah, and here's crazy. The other deal. I don't understand why in this country you and I can't have an opinion without being labeled transphobic or, you know, short-sighted. No, that's how I feel. It's my opinion, and I respect if somebody feels differently than me, and we can debate it, but it doesn't mean that my opinion is invalid, just like yours isn't invalid. I feel a certain way. I'm entitled to how I feel, and I'm not changing how I feel.
Well, I live it every day, Grant. I have a gay brother. He's my only brother. He's younger than me. And just imagine, you know, I'm conservative and he's liberal. And so I've lived it all my life. So
I know
exactly what you're talking about.
Thanks very much for the call. I appreciate it. And I don't have any problem. All right. I don't have any problem if someone's gay or whatever. I have many friends that are gay. I also have some friends that have children that want to be transgender. All right. And Dwayne Wade, in his situation, he's been very public about his transgender child. I have a very good friend who is going through this with a daughter who wants to be a boy. It's real life. And it's not that atypical. And I've listened to podcasts to try to get educated on this. I've listened to experts to try to get more knowledge of this. And again, I don't understand it, but I'm not going to belittle somebody. I'm not going to chastise someone if they're a male and want to be a female or vice versa. It's your life. You do what's best for you. I have whatever, just like your sexuality. I don't care what your sexuality is. I don't care what your religion is. And I've always tried to say this. To me, you're either a good person or you're not. That's how I view a person. I don't view a person on their ethnicity, their religion, their sexuality. I don't really care. I really don't. But when it comes to sports, I'm sorry. I don't feel that a transgender female competing against other females is fair. I don't think it's fair. I don't have a daughter. I have two boys. But if I had a daughter who was an athlete and was competing against transgenders, that would bother me. It would bother me because I don't think it's fair. The individual being a transgender wouldn't bother me. Again, if that's something that is important to you and you want to change your sexuality, I mean, if you want to change going from a male to a female or female to a male, that's fine. I have no issues with that. But I do have an issue when it comes to inequity on the playing field. And I'm sorry, I don't believe it's fair. And if people want to call me names because that's how I feel, go ahead, call me all the names in the world you want. That's my opinion. A lot of people agree with me. A lot of people disagree with me. But certainly, we're entitled to have those conversations, are we not? All right, if you want to weigh in on anything that we're talking about today, hit your hand icon, raise your hand, and we will do it. Again, NBA tonight, Kings and Lakers, final weekend of the NFL season. Then you got the national championship with Alabama and Georgia. And again, anything you want to talk about, let me know. As soon as I get off this program, I will release my podcast. And then coming up on Friday, Susan Waldman, New York Yankees radio broadcaster, she and John Sterling from the Yankees broadcast booth. Susan's got some of the great stories. I had her on my podcast. Oh, gosh, it's been a while ago. But I looked at the numbers the other day. I've had the fourth largest audience with Susan Waldman. People loved her, and I got a lot of great feedback. So I reached out to her, and she's going to join me on Friday. So I'm really looking forward to that. She's got amazing stories, and what great perspective. And she's a real pioneer in this business. You know, you talk about, you know, breaking barriers. I mean, she broke a barrier. I mean, think about that. Susan Waldman, a lifelong Boston Red Sox fan, lifelong Boston fan, ends up being a New York Yankees broadcaster, okay, with John Sterling. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And she and I will have a conversation for you that you'll be able to listen to on Friday. So we've got that to look forward to. I'm lining up a couple of other guests in the days ahead. Today's podcast, I think you're going to really enjoy my conversation with Sean Salisbury. I'll put that up on the podcast platform here in just a little bit. Again, the Raiders and the Chargers, that's the game this week. As I said, I don't understand how you can go through what the Raiders went through as a team and what happened to Henry Ruggs and the life of an innocent 23-year-old person lost because of his stupidity, his just unfathomable actions. And you got your Nate Hobbs, and you're behind the wheel, charged with a misdemeanor DUI. I don't get it. I mean, I really don't. But there are a lot of things I don't get in sports. I don't get Antonio Brown. I don't get how he's allowed to play in the National Football League. You know, I there are a lot of things I don't get. But I don't understand how you can possibly go through what the Raiders went through as a team after that Henry Ruggs accident that took the life of a 23-year-old lady who burned alive in a car and then be arrested for a DUI. Just unfathomable to me. It really is. All right. Hey, tomorrow, same time, 3 o'clock. We'll do it. Need your phone calls tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a open forum Wednesday, so we can talk about anything tomorrow. All right. Make it a good one. Thanks for listening to Listen Up here.